Acts chapter number 2, and I pray that this evening our microphone doesn't start cracking this morning in our service. For whatever reason, it was cracking at the end of the service. I'll have to put the pulpit mic back in if it does that again tonight. Stand with me, Acts chapter 2. Are you there? Amen. Look, if you will, toward the very end of the chapter. Now, we meet here in the middle of when Peter is preaching. We'll not read the entirety of the message that he begins over in verse number 14. But when we get over here to verse number 41, I'll begin there. We'll go back here in a moment, look at some other verses. He says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Man, praise the Lord for a wonderful service like that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And I look forward to one day being able to say, man, we had, I don't think we'll ever be the size of a church where we have 3,000 saved in one day. I've heard of other churches that have had that that type of a big push and campaign. I don't think we'll ever get there, but I praise the Lord for everyone that does trust Christ as their Savior. In verse 42, it goes on, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." This evening, a simple title of my message: It All Starts at Church. It all starts at church. Oh, this evening, I beg you, would you listen intently to what the Bible has to say about the church itself? Let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight for the folks who are here. Lord, I do thank you for Brother and Mrs. Roberts and, Lord, their desire to go into an area, Lord, that I would say that very, very few, Lord, probably less than 1% of the born-again believer would be willing to go into that area. Lord, I do pray for safety for him and his wife and his child and children, Lord, to be, I'm sure. Dear God, I pray that you would just give them free course, Lord, that the doors would be open. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to see many individuals in that country, Lord, that to government, to mankind, Lord, it's closed. But there is no such thing as a closed country to you, Lord. I'm grateful for it. I pray tonight you would help us as we endeavor, Lord, to work in the field that you have allowed us right here in Charleston. Lord, that we would see the beginnings of a church body here, Lord, as we see it in Acts 2. Lord, I pray that we would learn from it what we should learn, dear Lord. I pray you would help us to see how important it is that our lives center around the house of God. Bless our time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have you be seated. Amen. I didn't say dismissed, right? Good. All right, just be seated. It all starts at church. I think about the steadfastness here that we read about as we get into verse number 41. "They that gladly received His word were baptized." Of course, the same day added to them about 3,000 souls. "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Now, again, as we meet the Scripture here, we could go back a little bit. Maybe turn the page over there. You go back and we read some of what Peter is preaching here. Saw the miracle of those who were of other languages and of other nations hearing the message given in their own tongue. So we're given the first understanding of what tongues really is all about, having the miracle to do with the hearing more so than with the speaking. Amen? And remember how we have learned that the Holy Spirit has a place. Now, my message isn't about tongues tonight. My message isn't about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we need to understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When any church or any individual begins to push the Holy Spirit in a higher context than Jesus Christ, then we're going to have problems. Now, I'm not discounting the job of the Holy Spirit. But the job of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus Christ. And I understand that there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they three are one. But yet they three are all individual personalities, I guess we could say, of that one being Elohim. In the beginning, God. In Genesis 1:1, Elohim. Elohim gives us the understanding of one God manifested in multiple ways. So we have the Trinity that is at the very beginning. In the beginning, God. And so God took care of it right at the very beginning of the Bible, right at the very onset of Scripture. So the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The one who died for our sin. When we begin to get that out of skew, and we elevate the Holy Spirit too high above Christ, then we begin to have a doctrine that would come in, that we can speak in tongues, and we could have people that would just go off and some person stand and say, I know what they're saying, and these types of things. So the tongues that was right here was that tongue that they heard in their own language. Now, we move on. It begins to talk here. Peter, as he begins preaching, we go over here and we see in verse number 31, I love Acts 2:31. It's a verse that I go to so often when I'm soul winning, where it says, he, seeing this, of course, we can go back, we can understand, David is the one that's being spoken of. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, we're in Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts of the Apostles. Matthew is a New Testament book with an Old Testament mindset. The understanding of those men and women were still Old Testament rituals. For the majority of Matthew, for the majority of Mark, for the majority of Luke, for the majority of John, I had to get them right. The majority of the books, of those four books, They went to the temple, they gave their sacrifices just as Moses did, just as all of the Old Testament saints did. And so now, the advent of Jesus Christ, His public ministry, His death, burial, His resurrection, His time that He spent with the apostles, and then His ascension back to heaven, and praise the Lord, now, as He looked at Peter and said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the beginning of the local New Testament church began. But there was still an understanding, there was still a lingering mindset of the Old Testament. Just as we talk about the book of Hebrews, 60 years out from the birth of Christ, they wanted to run back to the temple sacrifices. Well, during the first four books, they did the temple sacrifices, and then they had to be taught about the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And so now the advent of Acts falls right on the very heels of the gospel. In fact, go back to chapter number 1. Look at the first few verses. Well, of course, it speaks in verse number 3, whom he showed alive after, he showed himself alive after his passion or his suffering, many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for those 40 days, he began teaching and preaching to them about the kingdom of God. When you go over to verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. He had spoken these things while they beheld. He was taken up, the cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? So Christ, at the very beginning of Acts, is taken up into heaven. So we know it's at the very precipice, at the very beginning of the local New Testament church. But there was still an understanding of Old Testament philosophy. That's what they knew. That's really all they knew. Christ had spent 40 days with a number of them. But now we have Peter, and Peter is preaching to those same men and women who were, for all of their years, were satisfied with doing the temple rituals, giving the sacrifices, just as they had since they were a child. And now everything was new. They were trying to get their mind around the fact that they now get to commune with God. They don't have to go through the high priest. They can go into the Holy of Holies and they can have that communication with God Almighty. It was something foreign to them. And so as Peter is preaching here, he is reminding them that the resurrection of Christ, at the resurrection of Christ, that his soul, that would be the soul of Jesus Christ, was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. His flesh did not corrupt. Man, praise the Lord, 3 days when I'm dead, my flesh is going to stink. When Lazarus was dead and Christ came 4 days later, they said, he is already stinking. Why are you here now? Of course, the Lord raised him from the dead. But the body of Jesus Christ was not corrupted. There was no corruption found in it. And his soul, praise God, wasn't left in hell. So for how long, Pastor? How long was his soul in hell? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. The Scripture doesn't give us an account as to how long. I know this, that Jesus Christ could have done in 3 seconds what I could not do in all of eternity. He could pay for my sin in 3 seconds, but I would not be able to do it in all of eternity, nor you in all of eternity. He goes on preaching, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which has showed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. That reference is given to us again over in the book of Hebrews. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It's not talking about David. God didn't say to David, sit thou on my right hand. God said to the Son of God, sit thou on my right hand. You can read it over in Hebrews. Verse number 37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Well, I like that. This morning we talked briefly about the message that Stephen was preaching. Stephen is preaching over in Acts chapter number 7. Just six chapters over. In fact, when Stephen was preaching, the mindset was exactly the same as what we're going to study here in a few moments. The dispersion of the Jews, the dispersion of the Christians, I should say, the dispersion had not yet taken place. Acts 8:1 God told them, I want you to go throughout all of the world and I want you to preach the gospel. But they didn't do it. They were all still gathered together in Acts chapter number 2. And we see the beginnings of a church, but understand, they still had the mindset of the Old Testament temple. The Old Testament church structure, certainly not like we understand church structure now. But that was the understanding. So therefore, when we see that they're pricked in their heart in verse number 37, we see a vast difference from the conviction that is falling upon these individuals. In verse number 37, they were pricked, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin. A verse that many people get taken out of context. They get messed up with that. The Church of Christ believes that you have to be baptized. They'll run every single time when you confront them about baptism. They'll run to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, that word for in our English language, F-O-R, can mean two different things. It can mean that I am wanted for a job, or it can mean I am wanted because of a job. Years ago, they used to have in the post offices, wanted for murder. That doesn't mean, hey, listen, if you happen to know where he's at, we'd like to hire him to murder one of the guys that we know. That's not what they were doing. Wanted for murder? No, they weren't looking to hire him out. They were looking for the guy because of murder. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, because of the remission of sins. Not to gain the remission of sins. And by the way, other scriptures that we go to that talk about salvation that have nothing to do with baptism. We cannot single. You're not allowed. The study of Scripture, the doctrine of the Bible, you can't just take one verse and create a doctrine based on that one verse if all of the rest of the verses that talk about that same subject don't even mention it. So baptism isn't part of my salvation. Praise the Lord. I've been baptized. I am a Baptist. But being baptized has no part of my salvation. Amen. The shed blood of Jesus Christ and my faith in Him is what He is looking for. He's preaching though. They said, "What shall we do?" He says, "Listen, you need to get saved. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you." A Holy Ghost, they had no idea who that was. They'd never been introduced to the Holy Ghost. This was all new. And these were Old Testament saints. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament... The Spirit of God in the Old Testament handled men and women differently than the Spirit of God handles them now. Amen. You read in the Scriptures, David, we just spoke about David. You read in the Scriptures about the Spirit of God coming upon David and departing. Coming upon Saul and departing. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that now. The Holy Spirit indwells the born-again believer. So they were not used to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. They were not used to the comforter, as it's called. The advocate, as another reference gives to us. The paraclete, as the Greeks would give us the word. So they weren't used to the Holy Spirit, but he's preaching about the Holy Spirit. And so now we get down to verse number 41, and it says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly," and it goes on. So we have steadfastness. We have that conviction. We have the fellowship. There is prayer. There is praising God. And there is all things in common. And we're going to go through all of those things in just the next few minutes. Before we get to that though, I want to read you an obituary item of a beloved church member from years ago. Our church is bowed in grief this week to learn that one of our most dear members has passed away. Someone else died this week. This death creates a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Someone else has been with us for many years. During all of these years, he did far more than a normal person's share of work. Whenever the leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's list. Let someone else do it. Someone else was among the largest givers of the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed that someone else would make up the difference. This beloved church member was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman. But a person can only do so much. Everyone expected far too much of someone else. Now, someone else is gone. Who will pitch in to do the things that someone else has done? If you're asked to take a job in the church, we hope your reply won't be, "Let someone else do it, because he's dead." You see, it all starts in church. Tonight I want us just to think a little bit about church, and I promise you I'm going to be very brief about the rest of the message tonight. It all starts in church. You see, we find out from Scripture, we find out, if you're going to take notes, you can write this down. Number one, the foundation is right. The foundation is right. The local New Testament that we have, that we pattern ourselves off of the Word of God. Acts begins the understanding of the local New Testament church. Remember how I described before that it is the bridge that takes us from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which if we did not have the bridge taking us over into the epistles, the local New Testament church, and it's the founding, the beginnings of it we find in Acts. Because if we didn't have this bridge, we wouldn't, there would be such a rough transition from the Gospels, which again were still Hebrew mindset, to the Epistles, which are local New Testament church mindset. So this, the book of Acts bridges us over that. And the entirety of the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. All of the things that the apostles did, all that the Lord used them, He begins it. He meets with them for 40 days, and boy, praise the Lord, He ascends back up into heaven. And He leaves it with us. He leaves it with us. I've said before, the little joke that the Lord is discussing the plan of salvation and how it's all going to be laid out. And one of the angels steps up and says, Lord, you're expecting mankind to spread your word? And the Lord says, yes. And another one says, what's plan B? There is no plan B. There is no plan B. God expects us to do what He's told us to do. So the book of Acts takes us through that, but our foundation is right. We can read over in 1 Corinthians 3, it first says, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as Paul preaches, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, I understand, again, I've said so many times, I understand how Paul feels. He is taking here at this particular point, and when he's writing to the church of Corinth, he says, listen, I am building, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, a wise master build, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now, this, he's writing to the church that he helped to start. He had the foundation of that start, that church, but other men have built thereon. See, our church is no different. Back in 1982, August of 1982, Charlestown Baptist Temple began over here in the Round Holiday Inn, right there beside the Ashley River. And Pastor Billy Welch stepped to a pulpit on that first day and began preaching the Word of God. And praise the Lord, all of these years now, we've gone through location changes, we've gone through name change, we've gone through pastor change, and even though the foundation was laid, praise God, there have been many people who have built thereon. Not just pastors, by the way. Good, godly, faithful men and women. Good, godly, faithful children who grew to men and women and continued building thereon. Well, I praise the Lord for that. Folks, I honestly can't wait till... And I know the area that we live. I know the time that we live. But I can't wait till the day when we... You see, I can look out now. I can look out and I can pick literally 1, 2, 3, 4. Four who have been here in this church for more than 5 years. Some of you may be a little bit, certainly 9 years, my tenure here. See, I want to see a church that has longevity. I want to see a church that people are planted and they grow and they realize we have a foundation that is right.
Amen.
We have a foundation that is solid.
Right.
Now, when someone comes and they're trying to find God's will for where they will be, I want to pray with them and say, dear Lord, would You show them? Would You be clear to them? But when God shows them where they're supposed to be, oh, I want You to know. I want them to stay. I want You to stay. I want You to dig in. I want You to take some ownership of the church. And I want You to say, this is where I will plant.
Amen.
I grew up on a farm. My dad never once looked across the field and said, well, I wish I could start planting my wheat over there. No, my dad knew the field that was his. He knew where he was supposed to plant. He had ownership in that property. He wasn't looking to plant in someone else's field. And dear folks, oh, I mean that. I want you to make the decision. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get involved. Now, if God moves you, I'll never buck the system. I'll never stand in God's way. And we have had some that have come here that I believe, as they have said, God has moved us to another location. I'll say, praise the Lord, that's fine, good, and God be with you. But I will say this. As long as the doctrine of the Bible is being preached from the pulpit of Coastal Light Baptist Church, we're going to have differences of personality. I know that. I know that. I would hate to have to get along with me. I don't know that I can do it very well. Praise the Lord, my wife is nothing like me. We get along well. I don't know how she puts up with me. And I understand that through the years that we're going to have differences of opinion. I think brand new pulpit, and I thank the Lord even today a comment, boy, Pastor, it's beautiful. Probably some of you would say, well, I don't know that I would have designed it like that. Maybe some of you said, sure, I wish it was a glass pulpit. To which I would say, not in a million years. Not as long as I'm the pastor. But we're going to have differences. But here's what I want us to understand. We have a foundation that is right. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Our foundation is the doctrine. When you go to verse number 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The doctrine. Now understand, it wasn't the apostles that came up with the doctrine. Because back there in chapter number 1, where Jesus Christ spent 40 days with the apostles, I promise you, it was the most intense 40 days of instruction that they had ever had. 40 days. Jesus, I need to excuse myself. Give me 30 seconds. Go. Come back. I don't know what it was like, but I can imagine, man. I can imagine it was, all right, turn in your Torah and teaching them Old Testament and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And so now they come out with the doctrine that has been given to them by Jesus Christ Himself. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, our foundation is right. Why? Because you say it? No, because the Word of God says it.
Amen.
I beg you, every time I get to this pulpit, if there is something that you see that is differing from the Bible, I beg you, would you come to me and you say, Pastor, I have a question about what you preached. Now, I've had people come to me before, and I've had them say, Pastor, I don't agree with what you preach. I think you're headed this direction. And for that reason, we're out. We're leaving. And I ask you, as humbly, I can't command you to do anything, but I can humbly ask you, if there is ever something that you say, I don't know that I would agree, would you come and let me have an opportunity to explain Scripture as God has shown me and as I understand? And you may be right. And I may have to come back to this pulpit and say, folks, I was asked about something and I need to make a correction about it. I've had to come to the pulpit and correct things. I thank the Lord it's never been something doctrinal. It's had to have been something that maybe I said and maybe I got the wrong. I think I just said something the other day. I forget what it was, but I got words twisted around or something. And I'm always, you know me, I'm always saying something about Moses built the ark and Noah crossed the Red Sea. I think Noah did probably cross the Red Sea, but he was in the ark. And so I may get things wrong like that. But our foundation is right. Our foundation is right. Our faith is right. You look at verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by who? The apostles. I'm not an apostle. You're not an apostle. You've never known an apostle. I've never known an apostle. We've never met an apostle. We've never heard an apostle preach. We've read what they have preached, but we've never heard a recording. We've never seen them on the internet. There are no apostles today. Apostolic succession is not biblical. Jesus Christ appointed His apostles, and when He was done appointing them, they were done. So it was... Why are you so adamant about that, preacher? Because it says fear came upon every soul. There was great faith. And the faith that we preach and the faith that is in this Bible, it's right. It's God's faith. It's doctrine.
Amen.
And it certainly isn't something that I came up with. But where it says that the many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, oh, absolutely. Jesus Christ gave the apostles the ability to do things that you or I could not do. In fact, let's see, if you go back over to chapter number 5, go to chapter number 5 and look at verse number 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Watch verse 13. And the rest durst no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them. The whole context is the apostles. But in verse number 13, it says, no one else tried to be like them. No man durst join himself to them. There were no men saying, I too am an apostle. You see, that's why I say that when we go to Acts chapter number 6, and we understand that Judas had betrayed the Lord, and then he hanged himself, and so the other 11 get together, and they say, the Lord had appointed 12, we're only 11 now, let's vote on a new one. And so they cast lots, and the Lord allowed it, and they appointed another apostle. But I think that God said, thank you very much, but I'll choose my own apostles. And that's why he chose Paul. Because Paul was appointed an apostle by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think the Lord said, thank you, I appreciate your help, but I'll take it from here. Amen? So, we're not apostles. We go back over to chapter number 2. We're not apostles, but yet we have the fear of the Lord, our faith in God. Jesus answered in Mark 11:22, saying, have faith in God. Because faith always works. Oh, we walk by faith and not by sight. We have saving faith, praise the Lord. We have sustaining faith. And we have strengthening faith. And if you come back again on next Sunday, we'll talk about another kind. We've looked at many types of faith. Our faith is right because it's the faith of the Bible. I've got to move. Number 3, the fellowship is right. In verse number 42, it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Oh, I thank the Lord for the fellowship that we have. I thank the Lord for that. I was talking with someone just yesterday, and I said the same words as this individual. The most enjoyable times that I've ever had in my life are in church. The most fun I've ever had in my life is in church. Oh, I enjoyed yesterday going and jumping on the trampolines. I don't enjoy it today. We talked about that in Sunday school. It was fun yesterday while it lasted, and then this morning my knees said, ha, ha, ha. And this afternoon... And now, I can have fun with that. Bungee jumping, I love that. I'd love to go again. I'd love to do a lot of things. But the fun that I have in church, that's why as a young man, unmarried, in college, I sat right there in Timberline Baptist Church and said, Dear Lord, I'm sorry that I make the decision every single service whether I'm going to be in church or not. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm done. I came to the altar and I said, I'm not making the decision every service. I'm making it now, Lord. I'll be in church. Doors are open. I'll be in church. Why? Because I knew what was going to work. Folks, I may not know a whole lot, but I know what works. I promise you that. I may not know everything about the Bible. I may not understand everything as far as every minute detail. I couldn't give to you everything about the eschatology. I couldn't tell you everything about pneumatology. I couldn't tell you everything about angiology, soteriology, and all of these ologies, and all of these high doctrine. They're doctrine. But I know what works. Man, I know you stay in church and boy, God will use you. I know you be faithful to God and He'll bless you. I know, I promise you. Listen, you decide, hey, listen, whatever I make, I promise God I'm going to give you 10% and God's going to bless you. You may get a raise. You may not get a raise. You may get a promotion. You may not get a promotion. God may make your car last another 6,000 miles or 60,000 miles. I've said many times, my dad would wring my neck changing the oil every 8,000 miles, 9,000, 10,000 miles. He would shoot me. Meredith, 3,000 miles or 3 months, change the oil. Oh, I know, Dad, I know, I just don't get to it. And I think sometimes God says, all right, I'll just push it a little bit further. I'll wind it a little bit again. And I thank the Lord for it. Man, I thank God for it. And I'm not saying that just because you have car problems, that means that you haven't been tithing. I'm not saying that. Now listen, God can bless you in so many different ways when you decide, I know what's right. I know what's right. Is it always easy? I'll promise you it's not always easy. But it's always worth it. I'm not just talking about tithing. I'm talking about the things. Deciding that I'm going to be in my Bible. Deciding that I'm going to have prayer time. Deciding that I'm going to change my life. The areas that I know that God's not pleased with me, I'm going to change them. I'll throw the cassette tapes out the window when I realize that that's not the music that I should be listening to. I'll make the decision to set boundaries in my life. Why? Because our Bible is right. Our fellowship is right. Our family is right. In verse number 44, they all believed were together and had all things common. Now, our family is right. Praise the Lord. the family of God is right. This is where I get to the point. In verses number 44 and 45, they that believed were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. That doesn't sound like the New Testament church. There's no doctrine anywhere in Scripture that teaches, all right, let's all get together, let's sell all of our things, and you give everything. In Acts chapter number 5, when they all agreed to do it, that was an agreement that they made. Again, remember, they're still their mindset. Listen, you go to other lands, Mrs. Kisavi, you go to Kenya, and the whole mindset of Kenyan culture is so different than the mindset of American Western culture. I know that. Oh, brother, when you go to Korea, the whole mindset is going to be different. It'll be different than Kenya, and it'll be different than America. I understand that. But what we need to see is we're following doctrine. We're following doctrine, but they're not trying to establish the doctrine here. There's a remnant left over of the type of understanding that maybe they had of communities, and they needed to bind together in communities, and they needed to live together, because the world out by yourself, it possibly was very likely not possible. But we have a family unit. We have families, obviously, in our households, but we have a church family as well. I'm never going to ask you, hey, listen, would you sell everything you have, and would you bring it to church? I'm not going to do that. We've never done it yet. I don't have any idea if the Lord will ever lead me to do this, but I've been in churches, and I know of churches where they say, listen, we're going to have, in fact, I was in a church at one point, and I believe we did this 2 or 3 years in a row. We had whole check Sunday. And the pastor said, you may not be able to do this. But here's what I'm asking. That maybe you would choose to tithe 1 week, your entire check for 1 week. I think is what it was that he said, if I remember right. And he said, listen, you're going to have to make that. All right, Lord, you pray about it. Lord, is this what you want me to do? It wasn't a command from pastor. All right, turn over here. And they gave their entire one. No. He said, I'm going to ask you. Why? Because we'd like to see some things that can happen around the church. It might be that I'll come to you here. I made mention of it here a couple of weeks ago. I may come and say, listen, we've located a bus. We're going to have to get some monies together. And maybe we're going to ask for a larger offering, a special offering. And it would certainly be no shock. It would be no different than what has happened in numerous, numerous, numerous churches. Or maybe a family says, you know what? We have such and such item. We have such and such thing that we don't need, we don't use. Maybe we could sell that, and maybe we could give it to the church. Again, I'm not telling you what I think you should do. I'm telling you what I've seen in other churches. And I'm telling you that the mindset of a family that we could have such a strong mindset that we could say, Lord, I want to make sure that the church goes on. We see the last thing, and I'll close. We see that our future is right. Look at verse number 47, where it says, they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Boy, I thank the Lord for our future. We have a future of seeing people come to Christ. We have a future of if we continue to be faithful to God, that means we're going to be we need to be faithful to God in the house of God. We need to be faithful to God in our own homes. We need to be faithful to God in tithing. We need to be faithful to God in soul winning. We need to be faithful to God in our Bible reading. We need to be faithful to God in the things that we know. And I believe that God's going to add to our church. And maybe it will be one day daily, such as should be saved. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to be part of a church that, man, pastor, I was talking to my coworker and he got saved. Man, praise the Lord, one on Monday. Pastor, listen, on Tuesday, I was talking to my friend across the street and I led them, Lord, one on Tuesday. Man, someone came as a guest to church on Wednesday and they got saved. Man, praise the Lord. One on Wednesday and another on Thursday and another on Friday and Saturday, so on, and Sunday in a church service. Oh, that'd be one. Boy, I tell you what. Talk about an exciting time to live. Talking about an exciting church. But you see, it's not going to happen if you don't realize it all starts at church. And it all starts at church. You can find all of the illustrations in the world of people who were raised in church and decided to go out and live their own life. Successful? Well, I don't know. Maybe they drive a Lamborghini. Maybe they have the largest house on the block. How do you measure success? I know how I see success measured. Notice I didn't say, I know how I measure success. But I know how I see success measured.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Are we successful? Well, I don't know. We're going to have to start checking the ruler. We're going to have to start checking the Bible. Oh, I pray that you'll think and pray and say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do at this local New Testament church? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you. I pray that you just bless us tonight. Lord, we've looked at several different things. Lord, I know a lot that I've said here. But Lord, I pray that you would help us just to see the mindset of the local New Testament church. Lord, here in Charleston, in West Ashley, for this congregation, Lord, I pray that we would see a burning desire to see Coastal Light Baptist Church as a church that you would use us as individuals, and Lord, you would use us as a family, that we might see a church grow. Tonight, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I made mention of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, where God told them to disperse, but they didn't. We read about the dispersal over in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, where God forced them out. Oh, I would hope that it doesn't come down to the point where God is forcing you to make a decision rather than you making a decision because God is asking you. Lord, I pray you'd bless us. Help us, Lord, to make decisions for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you will, the piano will begin playing. Oh, could I have you come tonight? What the Holy Spirit might have spoken into your heart, only you and He knows. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. What part do you have in this local New Testament church? What is your place at Coastal Light? Would you come as she plays?